当作业说能来
下给我把的当年小时候写
大便学习
这边上能接若了便是三年的本人说上安静
学当作业说能来
下给我把的当年小时候写大便学习这边上能接
多了
便是三年的本人说我老是马上能给他当年比生意他们就听到都在让他们把养到把周边上去就恐怖人不去那就他不是下过给他不是下雨切到他们去有人不去生意年比跟我想去去生病这些生病过年生不了
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation that we should all participate in this teaching.
Ani kuat yang esok itu milik tuan ni, dinih ni pula tuan ni sanji kumpat sama saya, kido sumber ni.
Historically speaking, Shakyamuni, after he became a complete enlightened being called Buddha. So we call him Buddha Shakyamuni, our historical teacher. He gave three major teachings, traditionally called three turnings of the wheel of Dharma. And the reason behind doing that is in order to help us sentient beings to follow the path that helps us to be free from the two types of mental obscuration, obscuration to nirvana or liberation, and obscuration to omniscient wisdom.
That in the church, Columba, some could be a carrison, Dijal and Damanda and Dusin, Dijal come to Sambalatini, Dusumaris.
So if we ask why had the Buddha teach so many different things, or in other words, why couldn't he, you know, talk about only one thing and then, you know, let that be the case? The rationale behind numerous teachings that Buddha gave or discourses involves that we as sentient beings have different mental dispositions, interests, capacities, and abilities. So in order to suit our dispositions and capacities, Buddha taught many different dharma.
Dije kam ta samba manda yo tsane ane ane dal shangju tele ane ni tu ji shangju ran ji shangju ti ji te ba chim bi shangju sen du sum te ta de thoji ji lam ta yan du sum te na yo re
considering the different mental aptitudes and capacities of different beings Buddha talked about three different types of bodhi. Now, bodhi translated as enlightenment. Buddha talked about bodhi or the enlightenment of hearers or shravakas. So we usually call nirvana or liberation, but we use the term enlightenment in this case here. Then at a higher level, if you so to speak, Buddha talked about enlightenment of solitary realizers or what is called Pratyeka Buddhas, another level of enlightenment. And then he taught, finally, the what are called the enlightenment of Bodhisattvas, or the Mahayana. Because you know, different practitioners have different aptitudes and capacities, and therefore Buddha taught those three different levels of enlightenment, if you will, and also taught, you know, complete structure of the paths leading to these different states of enlightenment.
No, that indicates that. 我让说， 去中肯出来的三八的看到门罩的原生呢他去肯定呢就你继续人把路线的他忙不行的娘子郎绝对是。
So when we look at ourselves, we are a group of people with different mental aptitudes and capacities. And so we can find different levels of dharma or discourses and practice. You know, we can go and start with a basic or simple form of practice. We can do intermediate level kind of practice, and we can do advanced level practice. You know, each of us could, you know, start with simple things, if you will, basic, and then we can progress on to other levels and do other, you know, types of spiritual practice. So that's what we talk about, spiritual development or spiritual growth. So each of us has two types of mental obscuration, broadly speaking. There is what we call obscuration to nirvana, and which is usually called delusions or nirmo, nyunti, kleshyas. Okay? And it is not enough for us just to get rid of delusions from within our mind, because there is another kind of mental obscuration that we need to get rid of, which is called obscuration to omniscient knowledge or wisdom, called shidip in Tibetan. Yeah. So in order for us to be able to purify our mind of these two types of mental obscuration, it's not just simple enough to sit and recite some mantras. Okay, mantras are good, powerful. I don't mean to underestimate their value in any sense, but simply reciting some mantras is not going to, cut it. Simply reading some Dharma scriptures or doing prayers is not good enough to get rid of our mental obscurations. So then what do we must do if we want to be free from mental obscurations? Of course, first we need to educate ourselves in matters of Dharma or spirituality, listen to teachings, and then we develop the understanding of the meaning of the teachings. So once we understand the meaning of the teachings, then we need to meditate on the ascertained meaning of the teaching. We call gom, meditation. So through meditation practice, we develop inner experiences and inner realizations. So that is the process we need to follow in order for us to be able to get rid of the two types of mental obscuration. Of course, reciting mantras is good, but what is more important is to understand the meaning of the mantras that we are reciting. What do they really mean? Okay? Or doing prayers is good, but it's more important to understand the meaning of the prayers that we are doing or reciting. So as we understand the meanings of mantras and prayers and so on, and then meditate, cultivate, insight into these meanings through meditational practice, then we are able to affect our state of mind. We can purify our mind of the mental obscurations, and that's how we grow spiritually and we liberate ourselves from, from delusions as well as obscuration to omniscient knowledge.
So
So this is the bottom line, what I'm trying to get across to you. That we could be reciting mantras, we could be doing prayers, or other things, but our motivation should be, and we should understand that reciting mantra is to be used as an antidote to counteract our deluded states of mind, okay, our mental obscurations. Praying is good, but the purpose of praying is to use it as an antidote to counteract our negative states of mind. Okay, because we need to bring about inner positive transformation, so therefore recitation of mantras, you know, reciting prayers, all of these things, what we do, what we call Dharma, should be applied to our own state of mind as an antidote. The Tibetan term is Nyenpo. Okay? Nyenpo has a sense of like we use the Dharma practice as an opposing forces to challenge and to diminish our negative states of mind.
That condition, when you rank any Kendrick Shabby Nandra,
So whether we engage in the study of Dharma or listen to Dharma teachings, or whether we are contemplating Dharma, or we're meditating on Dharma, doing the cultivating practice, what we really need to always keep in our mind is, whatever we are practicing, is it helping us to counteract our deluded states of mind? Are we able to diminish our delusions a teeny-weeny bit? It's okay, a little bit. Or do we still see that it doesn't matter whatever we say we are practicing, our delusions are pretty much remain the same thing? There is no change. You know, they are just as, you know, tough as they have ever been. You know, if that is the case, if we are not affecting delusions in our mind, negativities, then we are really not doing our practice properly. Are you with me? Okay, although we say I'm practicing Dharma, but the truth of the matter is that really we haven't been doing it properly, because the delusions have remained as tough as they have ever been. We got to challenge our delusions in the mind, and we got to effect some change. Even if it's a little bit of, you know, decrease in the delusion, that's fine, but we need to be able to bring that kind of a change. So as I mentioned earlier, that when we talk about spiritual practice, you know, that seems like, you know, one thing, but it really isn't. It involves many levels of practice. And of course, it is a wise and intelligent and common sense, if you will, thing to begin from a basic foundation practice, and then we progress next to level. You know, don't start from somewhere else, you know, up there, but got to go to the basic and start from there and then go up. So first we try to understand you know, things based upon our own personal experiences. You know, we each of us have gone through so many pains, problems and suffering. Yeah? So we really want to understand the suffering that we have been through, and we truly develop the wish that I want to be free from the state of suffering. Okay? So once we have certain experience of that based upon our personal experiences, now we focus our mind on other people or sentient beings, and we truly wish them to be free from the state of suffering, which is called compassion. See, first, to develop compassion, we've got to understand ourselves, you know, that we don't want any kind of suffering, and we want, you know, to get rid of them. So when we know that, now based upon our own experiences, it seems like a shared experience as we have with others, now we understand that other people and beings don't want suffering. So now we truly wish them, right? Now we are not kind of faking it, you know, we mean it, because, you know, we know what it means based on experiences, that to really wish others to be free from suffering.
rang tang yin le mendu pi namba kandu ji shomba yin na dungi kandu ji shomba yin na ya de rang tang yin ji yin le sen ji yin le ne ba shi pi de wei ba da ko ba shi da ba ko ba shi gu le
So one of the basic things, if you will, we need to keep in our minds that whatever problems and suffering that we ourselves have been through and that others have been through, all of these sufferings are the result of outcome of negative karmic actions and harmful actions. So we may think that, you know what, in this life I haven't really, you know, hurt anyone or done anything negative, you know, but we got to keep in our mind that maybe in this life, you know, we have not done that, hopefully, or let's assume at least, you know, but then we have to look back in previous lifetimes and many other previous lifetimes we did, you know, hurt others and we did a lot of negativities. So the things, negative things that we experience in our life are the results of what we did in our past lives, the negative things we did in the past lives. So we have to be able to see that connection between suffering and negative karmas that we ourselves did, you know, in past lives. So as we, you know, look at this matter, that all kinds of suffering that both myself and others have been through is related to negative karmas and harmful actions. So once we really get a good sense of that, and so now, you know, what kind of a conclusion we make out of that? If that is the case, okay, then it is rationally, you know, sound to think that, okay, I'm not going to involve myself in negative karmas physically, verbally, and mentally. In other words, I will see that I'm not going to use my body, speech, and mind in, you know, doing something negative or hurting others. Great Indian sage philosopher Arya Nagarjuna Gompo Ludruk has said, as Keshava quoted the lines from his memory, all kinds of suffering has come about from negativities, but all kinds of peace, happiness, and goodness come from positive actions. So what he's really saying here is that unfortunate states of rebirth in the three bad migrations that we talk about, in the hell, hungry ghost world, lesser kind of animal world, as well as a lot of the baggages that they have to carry, the sufferings, are all outcomes of negative karmic actions. Okay, whereas the good rebirths, fortunate rebirths that we talk about, in the form of human life, you know, the kind we are enjoying now, or in a celestial world, and whatever pleasure and comforts and kind of happiness we enjoy, relatively speaking, in this life, are the outcomes of positive karmic actions. So based upon these statements, the lessons we need to carry in our everyday life is that now whatever I'm doing, I'm walking, I'm sitting, I'm standing, I'm moving, whatever I'm doing, you try to cultivate positive attitudes, beneficial attitudes for other sentient beings. You know, we try to cultivate the state of mind wishing others to be happy, wishing others to be free from suffering. Okay? And So if we carry those, try to cultivate those attitudes, and at least if it means saying good prayers, you know, may I be able to bring happiness to others, may I be able to help sentient beings free from suffering, whatever actions we are doing in everyday life, I think that brings meaning into our life. So we are trying to cultivate love and compassion in our everyday life for other sentient beings.
That rang it, the Hubert and Aran Somaluk, and then Aran Somaluk at the same Yanni, and it came to the same race.
So, those are some of things I think we should all, including myself, to bring to our mind and pay attention to this and think about this.
And
I'll go back to where we left off in this wonderful text called. A miscellaneous collection of Kadamba Geshe's personal advices. So now we are here looking at what a great Kadamba Geshe by the name of Geshe Podowa. He told a gathering of disciples, not to some individual disciples, but a tsoyo means a gathering, at a gathering. So first thing he said that all sentient beings meaning those of beings who have deluded states of mind, that's the understanding of sentient beings. So every sentient being has got as many as 84,000 forms of delusion. The number is correct. 84,000, and because of that, Buddha taught as many as 84,000 forms of discourses as antidotes to these 84,000
delusions.
So Buddha taught so much, 84,000 discourses, but we need to somehow kind of bring all things together. If we are going to summarize, essentialize Buddha's teachings, we can do it in two different ways, right? Because we can do it in terms of, in maybe modern languages, editing the words so that too many words can be edited out and you bring, the number of words down is called sigidiva. So you cut down so many words and bring down to the essence in terms of word presentation. Or we can summarize, which is mostly in terms of the meaning. He taught so many things. What is really trying to get, across to us, so we can summarize the meaning of the Buddha's teachings. So in terms of words of expression, if we talk about some summary in terms of the words of expression, sigidiva, so Buddha taught so many things, but all of them are brought within what is called the three baskets of teaching, tripitikas in Sanskrit. There is what is called basket of ethics or moral discipline, Vinaya Pitika, Dulve Tenu in Tibetan. There is the basket of discourses, or Sutra Pitika, or Dode Tenu. And then there is the basket of wisdom or knowledge, Abhidhamma, Pitika, or Ngunpe Tenu. So within these three baskets, for lack of a better, nicer term in English, basket, but it's a Pitika, then we can bring all the words of expression of Buddha's, you know, teachings.
That the Gyoje Tengchon, Gyoje Tengchon the Shepe, you know, and then the Sumchi, and the Gyoje Shepe, and the Doa Tang, Ngunpe Tang, Lava Tsurumji Lava, Stan Lava Tsurumji Lava, Lava Tingin Lava, Lava Sherej Lava, Lava Sunjan Dusundi Reskan.
Now, in terms of the meaning, all of Buddha's entire teachings can be summed up in three, if you will, contents or subject matters. And they are the three higher trainings, Lavasum, training in higher ethics, which is called Sutimgilava, training in higher concentration or samadhi, Tingizengilava, and training in higher wisdom, and Sherab, Gilava, in Tibetan. So within these three higher trainings, these three subject matters, you know, are the real essence in terms of meaning of all the teachings Buddha has given us.
No. That is Buddha. Labor and labor, Mission, then that labor, somebody, and you shave a shape, Allah, and they gauge a shape, a gauge, sick tangy, then you sum good, then you sum better, and then you shake good.
So these three higher trainings are not so much to be kind of memorized, but they are to be internalized because they constitute realizations. But then, how do we realize this or cultivate in our mind if asked? How everything begins is education. We need to educate ourselves in Tripitikas or the three baskets of teachings. So we need to educate ourselves in those teachings and then put it into practice and then experience, internalize the subject matter of the three baskets, which are the three higher trainings. So now, if the three higher trainings are to be internalized, actualized, cultivated within our state of mind, so which of the three higher trainings we should begin first, if you will? Okay. So we need to begin with training in what is called higher ethics. Okay, Shila, or the ethics, is where we begin. Because ethics constitute the foundation. Based on that foundation, then we cultivate samadhi or concentration. So once we have ethics and samadhi or concentration, those two higher trainings, now based on those, we're able to cultivate training in higher wisdom. So training in higher wisdom is, so to speak, built onto the other two higher trainings.
That is, nyema ba tse ni pa ni sanche pa yin se, te se ya te te jasin te kare se na, laba kere je laba te se, ranji se ba yin na, te, laba kere je laba te, nyema bi dhaba da kiji dhaba ni pa ni sanche kumba toba res ka nang doa.
And then an emphasis is made on training in high wisdom, and that in Tibetan means te, that only refers to the training in high wisdom that really helps us to get rid of or to counteract the two types of mental obscuration, delusions and obscuration to omniscient knowledge, and then we could become complete enlightened person.
So that dena se junse teach na se ta dena lava sum ji tangbu lava churin ji lava ta di kare se na lava sum lava churin ji lava lava nis kun ji yemo yimpes le tambu be saji zo churin ji lava se gus churin ji lava den lava nin ji yin ji yir is ta lava yin ding ji lava de chire ji lava ji yir is so jang ra zo le tambu wa den zo kare ha gus tambu churin ji lava de tempo ya bu jin de la gu re ska nang do
tena therefore you know For those reasons, we should begin with practice of training in high ethics, because that is the foundation practice to be able to cultivate the two other higher trainings, so that if we would like to internalize the three higher trainings, we should build the foundation first, which is the practice of ethics, and then we could cultivate samadhi or concentration, and we can cultivate higher level of wisdom.
Hola, está bien, está. Es un do. Chirimje ta, ti zan ta chirimje laba la lobi zan ni ali chirimje ani mitu sho te ta. Zodo de mitu chirimje mitu zodo de kare de te keba sha gure kan.
So we as beginners should primarily focus on training in high ethics, and to be able to practice ethics, we need to be aware of and understand what are what are called opponent forces here. You know, what are the things that could be obstacle to cultivate ethics?
Yeah, and that one is interesting. I want to. That children say that any. 지름의 침박 송구리가 지름다 라디션 송구리가 지름다 아니 샴비스비 돈박이 돈베 지름 아니 상한 그 돈베 지름 제 만다 같은데 요레스 아니 텐데 손 네 손만도
maybe I should first tell you about different levels or types of ethics. You know, we can talk about ethics which are which are related to lay practitioners who are not ordained as monks and nuns. So we can talk about lay practitioners' ethics. Then we can talk about ethics which are related to monastic ordinations as monks and nuns. Then we can talk about bodhisattva ethics at a higher level. And then we can talk about tantric ethics or the Vajrayana ethics. So those are different types of the levels of ethics that we could practice.
Da chimba ge sen na mendu da tamji ge song ge de. Chimba yin na ra ju yin na tamji ge song ge de kar kya ge re sen na me ge jobun ge chim de samal ge song ge ge re.
So now there is, so to speak, a basic level ethics that everybody should keep it, whether we are monks or nuns or no monks or nuns, or just regular people, lay people. There is what we call the ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. Now that is a basic ethics which applies to one and all practitioners.
Now that the correction that keep asking me, I want to. So keep pongre, so keep pongba, pongba yena, so keep pongba that same gear, but that the any so keep pongre. Because that kind of one so keep ba, any machine balance ba pongre, any. 침바이나 또 로엔 방구요. 단수 방부대 침배 침 자구요.
Maybe I should just quickly run through the 10 negative actions that we need to abandon or get rid of, stop doing. There is what called 10 negativities involved not to kill, yeah, or not to take a life. And so this is a case where, like, when we develop sort of a commitment in our mind that I commit myself not to take the life of somebody, I'm not going to kill, then it becomes an ethics, okay? And so in the case of a lay practitioner, let's talk about, so when you make that commitment in the mind, I'm not going to kill anyone, okay? Or that I'm not going to steal things which belong to others. And in the case of a lay person, I'm not going to indulge in adultery, okay, we call sexual misconduct. So then you are keeping, for example, ethics related to, to abandon those three negativities. So those three negativities are related to our body, right, physical action. Okay, we develop a commitment, I'm not going to kill, someone, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to indulge in adultery as a layperson, then we are keeping the ethics of physical, activities.
No. mata yinch paru le chama chak ne pe ani thimba mi thimba zhe chama se ani nga gon din chama chik chob se me yin la ne chik chob ha ya la be ti pa tu so ta nga chel se ne teme ke chik da ke ma bo jo ro gor ten chan me be ta tin di ke nga che se te pa ngwe.
And then there are four negativities of the speech that we need to abandon, and that's why ethics, to abandon them. And the four negativities are, you know, lying. So lying is a form of cheating. You know, you deceive others, you cheat others, you know, verbally. So lying. And tama is causing disharmony or division, right? So you kind of cause disharmony among good friends so that they can never be friends, you know. Or that even if there's a possibility for becoming friend, and you just, you know, spoil the whole thing and say something, and they can, you know, they divide, you know, we divide among peoples. Harsh speech, unpleasant speech, unkind words, you know. And the last one, which I still don't know whether English captures really well, is we translate as idle gossiping. So basically, just talking much ado about nothing. You know, we think like we are talking something, that's really nothing there.
Kuma kutang hiya ta, taka ni mitsu seya ka korkeba ta, ta tsama ta ngachi chaga, kutanda ka yama ta.
And what included in the idle gossiping is, you know, we kind of talk about, for example, you know, how can we kill someone? You just plan it all out, just talk about, discussion about how to kill someone or how to steal somebody's, you know, things. And so those are considered as useless, meaningless part of idle gossiping. And those are considered as negativities.
Right. So
And then there are three negativities of mind. Of course, we are talking only about three here, not that there are only three, you know. And then we would be lucky, I think. Anyway, that's my footnote for today. So here is what we call covetousness. We covet for the nice and good things that other people have. Ah, you know, he got it. I really want it for myself. You know, that coveting for others' good is a negative state of mind. And harmful intent, nursing. So it could be very malicious. It could be like just wanting to harm someone or hurt someone. That is a negative state of mind. And then there is what we call wrong view or distorted view, lokta in Tibetan. Now the distorted views include a number of things. If we, deny the outcomes of law of karma and actions. You know, for example, we say, you know what? You know, the good karmas bringing good results and bad karmas bringing good results is all, you know, whatever. And it's totally denied that. So that kind of a denial constitute a wrong view or distorted view. Or that if you say, you know what, this Dharma Sharma thing, you know, really it has nothing to do with. You know, we kind of underestimate and, you know, cast aspersion onto the power of Dharma would also be a distorted view. So those are the 10 negativities of body, speech, and mind, and we all need to, you know, abandon them, whether we are lay practitioners or lay persons or monks or nuns. Of course, now I need to eat that, I think, food dog. In the case of this adultery, which applies to the lay people, for the monks and nuns, it really means not to indulge in any kind of sexual activity. Okay, and so with that, you know, things that all these 10 negativities are what we all need to, you know, abandon.
No.
And when we commit ourselves to do that, then we are abiding by the ethics of abandoning the 10 negative actions of body, spirit, mind. That was a mouthful to say.
And that, that radiation,
So then, of course, there are other higher level, you know, ethics such as bodhisattva ethics and tantric ethics. You know, only those who, you know, who take them, you know, and then those are things are relevant. And I don't think I need to talk about those here.
Then this one,
So remember a little earlier we said we need to know what are the obstacles or opposing forces to cultivate ethics. And here it's mentioned that a major obstacle is attachment, dosha. To be able to observe or practice ethics, a major hurdle that we need to cross over, if you will, is attachment. So what makes us transgress our, you know, vows and commitments is the attachment, you know. So that's why it is a, it is a real culprit.
Yes.
Attachment is a very serious, if you will, delusion that we have. Of course, at the, how should I say, core of us, there is what we call ignorance, which is the source of all other delusions. But after the ignorance, the next, you know, level delusion, if you will, is attachment. So in that sense, many other delusions do arise from, but at least with the assistance of attachment, you know. So attachment is a good assistant to Mr. Ignorance. And
in
here, the expression that is used is that in a generic sense, attachment is a source from which other delusions come about. Now, what do we really mean by what kind of attachment? Now, in this case, the term attachment is used, but it's to be understood more in terms of self-centeredness and self-grasping. You know, as we have talked a lot, you know, how all delusions arise from self-grasping and selfishness or self-centeredness. Self-cherishing attitude, selfishness, self-centeredness is a kind, in some sense, a quite a is a form of attachment. You know, because of self-cherishing attitude, then we find ourselves, you know, experience many other types of delusions and engage in negativities. So, like motivated by attachment, or attachment as an underlying kind of a motivation, we engage in negative karmic actions, and then those leads to the suffering outcomes, you know. So if you want a formula, you know, then this is like attachment plus the negativity is equal to suffering. Great Tibetan master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerumboche, who is sitting over next to me here in the center, said that attachment is that which really binds us to samsara. You know, if we think that what binds us within samsara, you know, what is holding us here, it is attachment. So it is the current of, metaphorically speaking, it is the current of attachment that kind of throws us into the ocean of samsara. So the most important delusion that we need to fight with and get rid of is grasping at self or self-grasping, you know, which is also understood in this case as attachment, you know. So our two main, you know, delusions to get rid of are self-grasping and self-cherishing attitude. So as we understand that self-cherishing attitude is a main source of so many other delusions and suffering, we should also try to understand that cherishing other sentient beings is a main source of you know, goodness, peace and happiness. So we are going to stop there a little bit early today because we have a number of people who have taken what is called one day Mahayana precepts. So their precepts involve, you know, having to eat just one time meal before noon. Yeah, so we are cooperating with them and supporting their practice. Oh, I have prayer requests here. So we have, you know, three people who have passed away. Excuse me if I don't say the names right, you know. But actually people don't say my names right either, so it's okay. I'm called Mr. Dorje, you know, figure that one out. Johanna, you know, Molchon passed away. Kazu Jason passed away. Tia McKinney's passed away, so three people are no more with us. And John, how do you say the last name? Whoever wrote it? Back surgery. Huh? Oh, Schlatek.
That's
it. Okay, has back surgery on Monday, so prayers are requested for all of them. Together this morning we have accumulated merit or positive energy, and we dedicate our merit for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all the holy masters. May they live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May Dharma, spirituality, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May all spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be able to successfully overcome obstacles on the way and succeed in their spiritual development and fulfill their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our collective positive energy for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all become Buddha soon.
上诸佛世诸人不闻戒，摩诃波罗蜜多罗蜜多，揭波罗蜜多罗蜜多罗蜜多罗蜜
公利公德
别无说东尼大我人不切马吉巴诺西修罗吉切巴娘巴灭巴达公利公德别无说刚日热月苦月金刚罗德偏当德我马律诸月内切日生活天子家族业下辈身体不度天
主恩者所以
别之出之灭多长那日热人之你的肩膀的三界印度灭之不我也如果能得行了学佛
说
一等不如人
安
照了和你要当要命